What we are and what we shall be. Please open your Bibles to 1 John. And as I mentioned Wednesday evening, I want us to look at a couple verses from that letter. We are going to be changed. We live in a physical world. We have physical experiences for just a few years. But because of God's love, He has adopted us. He has bought us. He has redeemed us. He has made us His children, and we can live with Him forever. God has given us a spirit that will live forever. But while we are in this physical world, we must always be changing and preparing for that spiritual world. Our character must change. Our appreciation for God must change. Our love for God must change. And without these changes, we will not see God. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and beginning at verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This love of God is special. And notice in 1 John 3 and verse 1, he says, Behold, look, see what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. This love is so special that God made us His children. Do we deserve it? We do not deserve that love at all, because we are sinners. Now we are children, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And at the end of chapter 2, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. We see this idea of righteousness fitting into this, and we'll see, we aren't going to look at this morning, but we'll see it on Wednesday evening when we go through this in chapter 3. We see where this righteousness is bestowed on us because we are children of God. We must practice this righteousness. We can enjoy this righteousness, and we must maintain this righteousness. But we have a lot of change to go through to do that so that we can be with God. How do we become children of God, sons of God? We do that by regeneration, by adoption. We must be born again. And how does He beget us? It's through the word of truth. James 1:18, of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. There's a change that takes place in our life because we are born again. We're children of the Holy Spirit. We are the sons of God. And because of this, we must grow and change as spiritual beings. We must do that because we have received the engrafted word of truth into our hearts. This word has the germ of life. When we talk about the parable of the sower going to sow the seed, what is that seed? It is the gospel. And we plant that gospel in our hearts, and there is a seed, a germ of life. So we've been born from above. We are to be sons of God. We are to be like Christ. And I have this illustration that I have with a father and a son. Again, because when we understand something physically, it's easier to relate to that spiritually. We are sons of God, but we must grow up and mature and become like our Father, or we are not going to be able to see Him. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, I'm sorry, 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse 1 through 4, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained the like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So He has given us divine power. We need to focus more on the things of godliness than the things of the world if we want to grow and mature and become perfect like our Father. We are nothing but poor sinners, and we have been born from God, and we must look to God and see what He is, who He is, and how we can become like Him someday. When we think about God and His kingdom, there are no boundaries to His kingdom. You read through the Old Testament of the different nations and kings and kingdoms, and you'll have territories like from this river to that river or these mountains. What about the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is universal. Whosoever will can be part of that kingdom. Where is that kingdom located? It's located in the hearts and minds of His subjects. Paul talks about in Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We keep seeing this word righteousness and righteous pop up. If we want to be like our Father, if we want to see Him someday, we must learn what this righteousness is and how to become righteous. Paul also says in Galatians 1:25, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Everybody complete. What we are and what we shall be. We are not perfect. We are not complete right now. We need to keep working on that. We need to become like the Father. So, again, we see this principle and we've talked about it over and over. We reflect outwardly what we are inwardly. There's the story of the three men standing at Pike's Peak. One of them said, if we had implements of war, we could make a great fort here, and it would be impossible for the enemy to overtake it. Another one said, if I had a pick and shovel and some dynamite, I could go into the earth and find gold and silver. The other said, if I had some paint and a canvas and a brush, I could paint a beautiful picture. You see, each person was focusing on something different. The first man was thinking of war and blood, and he was expressing it in money. The second one was thinking, he had to express it in words, and the second one was thinking of money, gold and silver and profit and loss. And the artist, he could see nothing around him except the beauty of what was before him. What is in us is what is going to come out of us. I grew up around a lot of farmers. And a lot of farmers that were in love with their farms, they would talk about their corn, their soybean, their wheat, their hogs, their tractors. That's what they talked about all the time, because they were in love with their farms. As Christians, as someone like Christ, what do we talk about all the time? As children of God, who do we talk about? The man that lives for Christ will talk about Christ. We'll talk about his love and his resurrection and his church and his authority. Why will we talk about those things? Because they are on our mind. And friends, if they aren't on our mind now and we aren't talking about them now, why do we think that our Father is going to welcome us home? Man will put into words the thoughts that are in his heart. You see, as somebody that talks about his family all the time, you know, he likes his family. He talks about his hobby, he likes that hobby. And you don't have to ask a person, tell me about yourself. You can just start talking with somebody and they are going to reveal what is in their heart, because that's what they like to talk about it. As children, again, as a child, it's interesting when you see little children, and I'm guessing several of us got together around the holiday where there are some gatherings and little children's, and you'll see children speak words like their parents, or try to say things, or have the same language sometimes as the parent does. And you'll hear the parent use some words with the child, and not too long after that you'll hear that child use the same words. It's only natural. Do we use the words of our Father? Is it natural for us to use the words of our Father? Is it natural for us to speak the language of heaven? God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our brother. If we are sons of God and brothers with Christ, we have this divine relationship. We need to speak more about that. Psalm 8:4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Now, you think about this young child on this PowerPoint. Does a baby know where they came from? Do they know their origin? You'll see a child when they're growing up, they'll ask all kinds of questions about everything. But they don't know where they came from. They don't know what their purpose is here in life. This young man here, is his thoughts going to be the same as the Father? His thoughts are going to be different. But we expect that when he grows up, he's going to be thinking as the Father thinks. What role does his thinking play in what he becomes? You'll see a child playing with pots and pans and making noise, and they might become a musician. You see someone else, another child, playing with building blocks and Legos and this and that. They might become an engineer. And it's what they think about and what they play with. Again, what is inside comes out. We are the children of God now, but how much have we developed as a child of God? Are we still a baby? What we are and what we shall be, we've got to change to see our Heavenly Father. You take... I used to see these advertised on TV, and I don't watch much TV anymore, but years ago they were real popular. You'd see these paintings, maybe they're in magazines, this beautiful picture, and you can buy this kit and paint by number, and you can paint the same picture. A lot of people do that, nothing wrong with that. You take the person that paints by number, and you take them to some famous art museum, and there are all of these masterpieces, unbelievable paintings, where you see that that person was a genius that painted this. And some of those painters, they would have to come up with their own ingredients and make their own paint. They would go out into their garden and their yard, into the woods, and get different things and mix it together and come up with their own colors. They're unique. Now, you take that that person by that paints by numbers, and you take them to a museum, and they see all these masterpieces, and they've never seen this before. Are they going to have an appreciation of what this master painter painted? They aren't going to have an appreciation because they have not done anything. They've only copied something. They've only copied something. They have not gone through the process. They've not created it. They've not imagined it. They've not worked it out. They've only copied it. You think about a dog. And what are we talking about? We're talking about growing up and changing, becoming like God, appreciating God. You take a dog. We have a dog. Does that dog know me? Yes, that dog follows me around. That dog, though, if I were to die, would it grieve? It might act differently for a short time. Then it would go back to doing whatever it was around doing. It would have a limited knowledge of its relationship with me. You take a child, the same thing. A child that is small, that's so much more developed than that dog. But we've all seen children at a funeral. People are mourning and grieving, and a child may be laughing and singing or playing. And there's nothing wrong with that, but why are they doing that? Because they do not have an appreciation of what is taking place. Friends, as the children of God, do we have an understanding? Do we have an appreciation? Do we have the concept of what we must do to become like God, to change so that we can live with Him? What we are and what we shall be, it's going to be different. And with this example of a painter and a dog and a child and us and the Father, there are degrees of love with all of these. And again, a child, he's going to love his father. But it's going to be different when that child loves his father when he's a baby and they're playing on the living room floor than when that child grows up to be a man and he's standing in front of his father's casket saying his final goodbye to him, because there has been a development of love and appreciation. And what is our perception, our conception, our understanding of God? Has it changed any? Do we just come and go through the motions and sing a song? We can sing the words and be thinking about 100 other things. Or we can read through the Bible and not stop and let those words sink into our heart about what God has done for us. You know, we should be thinking, again, what we think with that child, what he thinks and what he plays out is going to be what he grows into one day. Are we growing into children of God? When we think about God, we need to think of him again as with that kingdom that has no boundaries. God has no boundaries. That his personality fits, it's limitless, it's timeless. He's a loving father. We need to see him as near to us. God is always with us. The problem is we aren't always with God. He loved us so much, again, that we were sinners, we were unrighteous, but he sent his And again, as we've talked about in 1 John, his righteous son to be a righteous advocate to come and argue our case before the judge because of the sins that we have committed. I found this poem, and I tried to research to see who the author was. There were a couple different possibilities because it wasn't too clear. A wonderful story of deathless love. Each child is dear to that heart above. He fights for me when I cannot fight. He comforts me in the gloom of night. He lifts the burden, for he is strong. He stills the sigh and awakes the song. The sorrow that bows me down he bears, and loves and pardons because he cares. Then speak to him, thou, for he hears, and the spirit with spirit can meet. Closer is he than breathing, and nearer than hands or feet. God is with us all the time. When we're happy, when we're sad, when we don't know what to do, when we go through storms and trials, he stills the sigh and awakes the song. Do we appreciate him more each day? Do we appreciate him more as we're coming to the end of this year than at the beginning? God is always with us. Friends, are we always with God? Is this going to be something that just automatically happens, you know, like a baby? A baby is born and the baby just keeps growing and growing and growing. Are we going to grow as children of God? Is it automatic? It's not automatic. It's something we have to purpose to do. It's got to be intentional. We've got to plan. We've got to prioritize. We've got to seek the kingdom first. If we don't, we aren't going to grow up to be godlike. We've got to train our hearts, to train our soul, to learn to be righteous. You stop and think about this. If we are just baptized, if we have not repented of our sins, if we say we repented of our past sins and then we keep on sinning and we haven't made that determination, God, I know that sin separates me from you. I know that sin is horrible and you hate it, and that if I sin, you're going to turn your face from me and I'm going to be cast out into outer darkness. If we don't change our perception of what we are and what God is, basically, to sum that up in one word, it would be unconverted. That person would be baptized, but they aren't converted to God. Do we think that if we are unconverted, underdeveloped spirits, unregenerated, unborn again, we've been born again, but we really haven't been born again? Do we think that we are going to be able to be with the Father and appreciate heaven? When we think about the kingdom, one of the terms, one of the parables, one of the teaching examples to describe that, it's like a mustard seed. It has the power to develop and expand. Do you like to think of heaven and wonder what it's going to be like when you stop and think about all the people that are going to be there, all the people from the Old Testament, the patriarchs, everybody from under the law of Moses, all the prophets, the redeemed of every age, of every nation? Do we stop and think about that, or do we think about the ball game we just watched, or what movie's going to be on tonight? Which direction are we moving our minds? We've got to learn that we must make some changes. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and beginning at verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit the kingdom. So again, we're something now, we're going to be something different later. We've got to change. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Corruption, our body, cannot inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then all shall be brought to pass. The saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Friends, when I started working on this lesson this week, I had no idea what would take place this week. But what did we talk about this morning? Two precious souls that have left this world, that have stepped out into eternity. And that's not going to be unusual, because all of us here are going to step out into eternity. The question is, which way are we going to step? We are all going to be changed. And all of us are going to be changed, determined by the actions that we take each day. Are we trying to be more like God? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There is no more sea. Then John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Friends, are you prepared? Are you prepared? And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Friends, I want to make it to heaven. And be in this place where God's going to wipe away every tears. When we were at Bath Road and I was holding the meeting and talking about heaven, and I made the point, there's no tears in heaven. And you know where the tears are? They're in Hades. They're in hell. And we're either going to be in a place, if we change and become like a father, where there are no tears at all, or we are going to be in Hades like the rich man that for the last 2,000 years he's been in that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth before eternity has even begun. Friends, are we like that little child that does not understand what it's like to be a father? Are we like that person that paints by numbers, that goes to the museum and sees all these masterpieces and does not appreciate them? Are we like the dog that kind of likes this person, but you know, if something else comes along, I'll do something else? Friends, are we developing ourselves into Christians? In verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. But friends, we must overcome. We must change. Verse 7, He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And our last verse, Psalm 17 and verse 15, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. It comes back full circle to righteousness. Friends, I encourage you to change before it's too late. All of us must be changing every day, getting closer and closer to God. In chapter 3 of 1 John, John emphasizes the love of God in our adoption. And because of our adoption, we must be holy and righteous. We must put away sin. We must put on brotherly love. We must assure our hearts to God. We live by faith, and we lovingly submit and obey our Father in everything we do. And then and only then, will we be like him, what we are and what we shall be. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.